Okay, we left off here at the bottom of Chaf Aleph Bet, discussing the fact that Ezra was ro'oi to have the Torah given in his day, except that Moshe preceded him. Nevertheless, something did happen in the time of Ezra, and that is that they switched the Ktav. They actually had an option to switch both the language and the Ktav, but they only opted to switch the Ktav. They switched to Ktav Ashurit at that time, but they maintained the Hebrew language. So now the Gemara continues, offers some alternate opinions about the switching of the language. Gemara asks about four lines down on Chav Bet Amud Aleph. Lama nikra Ashurit? Why is the language called Ashurit? Shalai mehem me'ashur. Because that was it came up with them, or this Ktav came from them from the place of Ashur where they were living at the time, the Assyrian Empire. Tani Rebbe Omer, b'tchila b'ktav zeh nidna Torah l'Yisrael. So first of all, Ashurit was the original writing in which the Torah was given. Kevin shchatu ne'pach lehem l'ro'etz. After they sinned, I mean, with the Churban Abayit, when they sinned, then Hashem smashed it or crushed it, I mean that he took it away from them or he changed it to the Ktav Ivri. Kevin shchazru behen, when they did the tshuva and they came back to Kosh Baruch Hu, gzir lehem, then Hashem returned them to the Ktav Ashurit, shenemar. Because it says, shuvu levitzaron asirei atikva, gam hayom magid mishne ashiv lach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, you who are in the return to the fortress, those that are lack hope, gam hayom magid mishneh, I have another something to tell you today, or another announcement for you, that mishneh ashiv lach, I will return to you the mishneh. Now, what does that mean? I will return to you the mishneh. I will return to you that which was forgotten. Mishneh here being the lashon of the or the ktav of Ashurit. So therefore, it was forgotten and then returned to them. It wasn't the first time. I mean, the Torah was given in Ashurit, and then it was lost, and then it came back, was brought back to Ashurit at a later date. Lamini krashma Ashurit. Why is it called Ashurit? Usherit bichtav, because it's a beautiful, rich writing. Mishum ben Elazar omer, mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Parta. She'amar mishum Rabbi Elazar ha-modai, ktav ze lo nishtana kol ikar. The writing or the language never changed at all. She'amar vavei ha-amudim. So by the Mishkan, it says the Vavei Amudim. Ma Amudim lo nishtanu, just like the boards, the Amudim of the Mishkan never changed. Avavim lo nishtanu, so too the Vavim did not change. So the Vavim were actually used in the Chatzer. Around the Chatzer, there was a curtain that was hung among the poles, the Amudim, that stood. And how it was hung onto those Amudim was through a Vav. A Vav, like in modern-day Hebrew, was a hook. So Rashi claims that the Vavim here means that just like in the time of Moshe, the Vav looked like a Vav that we have today, like a hook. So do the time of Moshe and our time, since they both look the same, it must be that we have the same language. Could argue that the Limud is simply that the Vav, he's playing on the word Vav, not Vavei, like a Vav as a hook, but Vavei. The Vav of the Amudim, which is also the letter Vav, is just like the Amudim and it hasn't changed. So like the description of the Vav there was a Vav as a hook, but that Vav was known to them as the letter Vav. So to today, our letter Vav has not changed. I mean that the language or the Ktav that was used is static and hasn't changed from the time of Matan Torah. So, Gemara says, Omer, Bel Yehudim Kichtavam Uchishonam, that in the Megillat Esther, it says when they wrote to the Jews, they wrote to them in their language and in their Ktav, in their writing. Ma Lishonam Lo Nishtana, just like their language had not changed, Achtavam Lo Nishtana, so too their writing or style of writing had not changed. The letters still had the same form, or the characters had the same form. Elamayne mekayem et mishnei haTorah hazot. So then what are you going to do with the word mishnei Torah? Before we darshan at the end of yesterday's daf, at the top of this daf here, we said, b'chtav et mishnei haTorah hazot, k'tav haroi lishtanot. K'tav that eventually would be changed, even though it was given by Moshe, that k'tav, that writing, was going to eventually be changed. So what does this Manda Amar do if he believes that the language or the writing never changed? Then what does he do with this pasuk? The shtei torot. That's for the king. That has to be told torot. Achat yotzav nichneset imo, one that goes in and out with him. Vachat shemenechad lovevek nazav, and one that's kept with him in the palace that's placed in his treasure stores. Oto sheuta sheyotzav nichneset imo, the one that he goes in and out with. Ose uta kamin kmiya, he makes it into a small. Rashi calls it a ktav, a very very thin and fine writing, so that it was able to fit onto a smaller cloth, and then he makes it into like an amulet. Toleb Zro, and he wears it on his arm, similar to what we would think of as tefillin shel yad. Shnemar shvit Hashem lenegdi tamid, Hashem should always be with me. And the end of the pasuk is mimini balamot, that on my right arm it should never be loosened, meaning that we should the placement of shvit Hashem lenegdi tamid, which is the Torah, will be placed on my right arm, like my tefillin that is worn on the arm. So we see that. The other is, if you look at the Gemara Menachot, the Rosso, and the Loch of the Rambam, you see that there are some parallels that between the Sefer Torah and the Tefillin. And over here, you see a striking comparison between Tefillin and Sefer Torah, that for the Melech, we suggest that he should wear the Sefer Torah on his arm, almost akin to the Tefillin. V'idach, the other Mandamar, who says that the Mishneh Torah means it was changed, and doesn't mean that it's the Torot, or that he went in and out with it on his arm. So now what does he do? Shaviti, my darishpe. What does he do with the word Shaviti Hashem Negdi Tamid? If it's not to wear on his arm, what does he do with that pasuk? So that's what we know. But the Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, the famous drasha, Rav Shimon Chasida, mitpalel, tzarech shiyet yetzmo, ki'ilu shchina kenegdo. Person's davening, has to daven like he's right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is right there. Shnemar Shaviti Hashem Negdi Tamid, which governs, mention what we do in davening. I mean, many shuls have that written down there, Arona Kodesh, or before the Amud, so that people remember that when they come to daven, they're davening before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also governs the way we act, both in Shmoneh Esrei, the way we bow down, the way we take steps backwards and forwards, how we bow when we're taking off, all have to do with this reflection that we were standing mamish before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Shimon d'amar k'tav zeh lo nishtaneh. So according to Reb Shimon, who says that the writing was always the same, there was no change in the writing, my lav kahalein katva lemikra. So then by Belshazzar, when he sees the writing on the wall and they can't read it, I mean, if they changed the k'tav, we can understand why nobody could read it, and yet Daniel understood how to read it. But if the language was never changed, then why couldn't they read it there? Samarav bigmatria ichtiv lahon. The reason that they couldn't understand, the reason Belshazzar couldn't understand it, was because it was written in gematria. Gematria here not meaning the values of the letters, but rather adbash, the exchange of the letters. Here you take the letters of the alpha, the alphabet, you write them out, the 22 letters, and then you take in reverse the same letters, you take them in reverse and write them underneath. And each letter will be exchanged. So if it was an aleph, it'll be a tough. If it was a bet, it'll be a shin. So they do that. They come up with ichtob lahom. So he had yatat, yatat, idach. So now if you take that and, pug chamat, if you take the at bash of those letters, when you take the yud and you exchange it, it will be a mem. The tet, you exchange the nun. The tuf, it'll be an aleph. So it comes out to what's written in the pasuk in Daniel, that was written on the wall there in Daniel. Hey, chav, hey, when he explains what's written on the wall, it says, minei, minei, tekel, uparsin. So minei, minei, takil, uparsin, those if you use adbash will come out to the what's written in the Gemara here of yatet, yatet, idach, and pug, chamat. Even though the yud in idach is extraneous there, I don't know why the Gemara has the yud, because it's only a three-letter word of tekel, so it should be taf kuf lamid, and it should be alf dalid chav sofit. So my parish lahu. So then how did Daniel explain it to them? So that's written in the psukim in Daniel, and afterwards after he explains what's written there, he explains what it means. It says, minei, minei, tekel, uparasin. That's what's written. Minei, so what does the word minei mean? The minei means mana eloka malchutach v'hashlama. So now again, there's no lecha there, and there's a hashlama. So Hashem has weighed your reign, and He's found that it's time to terminate your reign. Tekel, tekel is to weigh. So tekilta beoznaya. Hashem has weighed you on a scale. Yishtakachat chasir, and He's found you wanting. And then the last one is prisin. So what is that prisin? Is prisat malchutach. Hashem has cut off, broken away your kingdom. V'yavad madayu pras, and given it to Media Persia. So now this is the transfer, the change of the malchut from being from Bavel. It's going to transfer now to madayu pras. And over there, Daniel explains that's because of the actions of Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar's grandfather, who had been the original king of Bavel, and he had acted in a haughty manner, and Hashem had punished him for that, and when he came to his senses and realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the king and not Nebuchadnezzar, he brought him back to his reign. But he says, you, Belshazzar, his grandson, have not learned the lesson, or didn't learn the lesson, and since you didn't learn the lesson, therefore we're going to terminate your kingdom. You brought out the Klei HaMikdash to eat and to be a part of your Mishteh, and because of that violation that you didn't realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the real king, therefore we're going to terminate your kingdom and your reign, and we're going to give it to Madayu Paras. Ushmol Amar, Shmuel says, no, that the way, what was wrong with the writing, or what was the hidden writing over here, if you don't say again that they switched the tav, that they switched the way they wrote, or the way that the language that they used, then why was it they didn't understand it? Because it was written in a cryptic manner, which is written as Mamtos Nakafei Alaran, what does that mean? If you take the first letter of each word, you'll spell out what Daniel says. You say the mem of the first word nun, and then the alf, that's menei. Then the second letter is mem, second letter is nun, and second letter is alf, is menei menei, like he says. Then the third letter is takal, if you take the third letters. The fourth letters and the fifth letters together make the last word, uzu farsin. So that's how he did it. It was written in that cryptic manner, and Daniel was able to explain it. Yochanan Amar, that he really said, he said, aneim, aneim, leket, Nisrufu, which is basically written backwards. Each word was written backwards, which is Menei Menei. If you look at each word, it says Alf Nun Mem instead of Men Nun Alf. Same thing with Leket, it's Takal, which is Taf Kuf Lam, and written backwards. And same thing of Ufarasin is written backwards. So that was the problem or the issue that he was able to solve for them. Ravashi Amar Nemei Ktal Porsin. So that they, just the first two letters were exchanged in each of these items. That you see the mem and the nun exchanged. Instead of saying mene, it says neme. And then, by takal, instead of takal, it says katal. And ufarasin, instead of saying that, it says porsin. So he just exchanged the first two letters. So that was the reason that it was considered cryptic, or they were unable to read it. Not because the language of the Jews had changed or the ktav had changed. That's not the problem over here, but rather, it was written in a cryptic manner, and they needed Daniel to interpret or to understand what was written there and explain it to the king, Belshazzar. Okay, now we continue with our discussing of the king or the protocols for the Jewish king, which is, you're not allowed to ride on his horse. You can't sit on his seat, mean on his throne. You can't use his staff or his scepter. You're not allowed to watch him when he gets a haircut. Not when he is naked. Not when he goes to the bathhouse. That you must place a king on you. And from there, the Chazal learned, you have to fear him. And they have to grant, if you want a king, the king has to be treated in a certain manner, and have to establish a certain amount of stature to the king, so that the power of the king, first of all, will be established and not questioned. Number two, it also should be, because that the machuta arakein, machuta deshmayo, that a person should relate to the king, and that will teach him how he should relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. And in order to have the king be able to rule over the people have to treat him in a certain manner, in a respectful manner. Not that the king should be afraid of the people, but the people should be afraid of the king. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Avishag muteret l'shlomo, vasura lo dunya. So that Avishag Ashuna Amit, which we're going to discuss in a second, at the beginning of Melachim Aleph, when David HaMelech is very old and he's cold, so they discuss about what to do with him, we'll see in a second. They brought to him in the end this woman, this young Betula, Avishag Ashuna Amit. So she's muteret for Shlomo to marry afterwards, but not to Adoniah. Muteret to Shlomo, the Melechaya. Because he's a king, or Melech Mishtamish, Bishavito Shomelech. And a king is, one king can use the scepter or the staff of another king. Asur l'Adoniah de'ejotu, and Adoniah can't use him because he was a ejot. He might have been a prince, but he's still a lay person with regards to the kingdom because he would never become king. Avishag Mahi, what's this whole situation? Avishag Dichtiv. Ve'avelech David zakein baba yamim. David was very old and he was cold. Ve'yamrulu abadavi vakshu. So they decided that they're going to go find a young betula to be able to stay with him in the bed and warm him up. Chtiv vakshu nara yafa. They look for a beautiful woman. Chtiv nara yafa. So then they found this beautiful woman named Avishag Ashunamid, and they brought her to the king to be his nursemaid, to Sharteyu, and she serviced him. Amra, she said to him, Ninasban, let's get married. If you're going to have me here all the time, let's get married. Amarla Asiritli, he says, I can't do that. You're asur to me. Why? I already have 18 wives, and if I have 18 wives, I can't add any more. So Amalai Chasre the Ganvo Nafshe the Shlamo Nakit. Wait a minute, you're like when a Ganav has no more room to store any more of his stolen merchandise, so he pretends to be like he's an easygoing guy, and that he does everything by the law because he can't steal. He has no reason to steal. He can't do anything, but he's the stolen goods anymore. So to you, all of a sudden, when you've lost the tava for Biyana, that you're so old, now all of a sudden you say, I don't need to marry her. I don't need to do anything. So that's the situation here. So David says, wait, I'll show you that that's not the case. So he says, calls in, Amalo, Karoli the Batsheva, call in Batsheva, Ochtiv, Batavo Batsheva, Lamelech, Achadra, that she came into the room of the king, to the inner chamber of the king. Amrivuda, Amara, Botusha, Kin Cha Batsheva, Beshloshisre Mapot, that David, Amelech, had the Bia 13 times with Batsheva, and between each time she would clean herself with a Mapa, and Rashi claims that comes from the 13 words that are mentioned in the Pasuk about Batsheva coming to the Melech HaChedra. And so he shows, or he demonstrates to Avishag that it's not a lack of desire that he doesn't want to marry her, but he realizes that it's Asur, and he doesn't want to violate the law of the Torah. So Rabbi Shimon Abba, Borei Kamakashin Girushin. Let's see how difficult or how horrible it is. Divorce. Shere David Melech Hitiro Lo LeYachid. Thereby David Melech, they allowed him to violate the Isur of Yichud. V'lo Hitiro Lo LeGaresh. Mean that he could have solved the problem of 18 wives. He could have divorced one of his wives and then married Avisha Gushunamit, and he would have 18. It would be fine. But instead, they allow him to violate the Isur Yichud that was actually established in his time. The Isur Yichud with a Tula, with a Pnuya. And they said better to violate the Isur Yichud de Rabbanon than to allow him to be Megaresh, one of his wives, and marry Avishag. So you see from this how horrible it is, or this the institution of divorce, that we try to avoid it at all costs. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kol HaMegaresh Et Ishto Rishono Afilu Mizbeach Morid Alav Demaot. But it says that even a person who divorces his first wife, even the Mizbeach cries for him. Shneamar Vezot Sheinit Ta'asu. So here in Malachi it says that this is the second sin that you have done. What is that? Kasot Dima Et Mizbeach Hashem. You cover the Mizbeach Hashem, you cover the altar of Hashem with tears, Bechi, and crying, Vanaka, and moaning. Me'ein Od Ben Pnot Ela Mincha, because we're not turning, Hashem's not accepting your menachot anymore, v'lakachat ratzon minetchem, and taking your karbanot. Uchtiv, and then it says in the next pasuk, v'amartem alma, why is this happening to us, that Hashem's no longer accepting our karbanot? And he explains, Hashem says, al ki Hashem he'id ben cho ben eshet nurecha, because Hashem testifies between you and the wife of your youth, asher atah bagadta ba, that you rebelled against her,
you have betrayed.
So you see from here that the loss of one's wife, or first wife, is what causes them to be in a position where they are crying. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vitei Rabbi Elazar, Nishto Shel Adam Mita, Alim Kein Mevakshim Mimenu Mamon, Veino. That if a person's wife dies, when people come to take money from him, and he doesn't have what to pay, Shenemar V'ein Lechad L'Shalim, if you have nothing to pay, Lama Yikach Mishkavcha Mitachtecha, why should they take your bed away from you? So here, bed doesn't literally mean your bed, but Mishkavcha means your wife, and therefore we see when people come to take money, when you don't have it, that's what causes one's wife to die.
Rashi, elsewhere in Shas, says that the reason that the Mamon here causes the loss of the wife is because it's Mamon of Gezel. Marshal takes issue with that and says that he thinks that the Mamon here is a Mamon of a nether, that one who does not uphold a nether, if he makes a commitment to do something or give money, and he doesn't fulfill that commitment, then a Kadosh Baruch comes away and takes the one that was really your commitment, that's your wife. And Mida Keneged Mida, that if you don't fulfill your commitments, then the commitment that you have, or the breach that you have with your wife, will be severed by losing your wife in that instance.
Anyone who loses their first wife, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in his lifetime. Because it says in Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Inei Lokeach Mimchat Machmad Einecha B'Magefa, I'm going to take away that which is beloved in your eyes in a plague. Lo Tisbeid. So this is in the Perek of Yechezkel, where he's telling Yechezkel that you're not, even though these bad things are going to happen, you're not allowed to act like an Avel. So over there it says, Lo Tisbod, Lo Tivkeh, Lo Tovod Dimatecha, that you're not allowed to eulogize, you're not allowed to cry, and your tears should not come. Uchtiv, and then it says afterwards, V'edabel ha'am baboker. I spoke to the people in the morning, V'tamat ishti bariv. My wife had passed away during the night. Uchtiv, hini mechalel et mikdashi ga'onuzchem achmad eneichem. And Hashem says as a description or to compare what's happening, that I am about to be profane my mikdash, the one that the strength, the thing that is dear to you. So you see that Hashem compares the loss of a wife to the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rav Alexandri, Kol Adam Shemeta Ishto B'Yamav Olam Choshech Ba'ado. Person who loses his wife during his lifetime, his world becomes dark. Shnemar Or Chashach Ba'holo V'Nero Alav Yidach. That the light has become dark in his tent. V'Nero, and the candle has begun to flicker out. So over here, Rashi says, Olo means Ishto. Or Chashach, why is the light gone out? Ba'olo, because of his wife. I mean, that because the loss of his wife, that's why everything has turned dark for him. Rabbi Chinin Amar, Psiotav Mitkatzrot, his step, his stride is shortened. Shneamar, this is a continuation in Yov, the Pasuk there, it says, Yitzru Tzadei Ono, his powerful strides will be constrained. I mean, again, because of this Ba'olo, because of his wife, the loss of his wife, his stride will be constrained. Rabbi Bo'omar, Atzato No Felet, his plans fall apart, or his advice isn't as a good. Shneamar B'tashlicheu Atzato, that his schemes are thrown away, or lost. I mean, that which he plans to do, it doesn't work out anymore. Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kashel Zigu Gam, Kekriyat Yam Suf. Bringing Shiduchim together is as difficult as splitting the sea. Shneemar, because it says in Tehillim, Elukim Moshiv Yechidim Baita. Hashem brings individuals to a family, to a place together. Motzi Asrim B'Kosherot. He takes out those that are incarcerated in chains. He frees them. So in Tehillim, it discusses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings those that are lonely together, it creates shiduchim for them. And the remainder of that parak discusses about the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Sinai and how he rescues his nation and those that are downtrodden. So you see over here again this idea that it's compared, that it's as difficult as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to change nature is also to create the zivugim.
Rashi in the Gemara and Sota explains that Motzei Asrim B'Kosherot is B'Kasher, that Hashem took out those that were incarcerated, meaning Bnei Israel, from Mitzrayim B'Chodesh HaKasher, and the Chodesh Aviv, which is the month that is nice, it wasn't too hot, not too cold, that Hashem did it in a nice manner. So that's how Rashi learns out the connection between the Yetziat Mitzrayim or the Kriyat Yam Suf and the Zivugim.
So Mar says, is that really true? Iniv Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav 40 Yom Kod Mitzirat Avlad Bat Kod Yotzat Bomer Bat Ploni Leploni. So that, but 40 days before a person is born, it's already determined who they're going to marry. There's already some sort of determination. So if that's it, why is it so hard to get people together? So Gemara says, Abizivug Rishon, Abizivug Sheni. That depends. That's on the first Zivug and the second Zivug. So here, there's a Machlokas. This is actually in the beginning of the Gemara in Sota. And over there is Machlok the Rishonim. Which one is which? Is the Zivug Rishon or Zivug Sheni? Most interpret that Zivug Rishon is the one that is already predetermined. That's one before 40 days before. And Zivug Sheni is the one that is more difficult to work out. Or the Zivug Sheni, if the first one does not work, and why it doesn't work is also a good question, whether it's because of divorce, because of death, and then there has to be a second Zivug, that's what's difficult, or because they don't get together. Whatever reason, they're not able to get together, and that's what Tosus discusses over here. He says, even though Arbaim Kodem Yetzirat Avlad, even though that's determined already, still within those 40 days, even though we find in other places like the Gemara in Brachot, that 40 days before the creation of a Vlad, a person is already determined what they're going to be, what gender they will be, what will be of them. Nevertheless, Tefillah still helps to alter that. And by Zivug Rishon, also, it can be changed by Tefillah. So if you daven, you can also change your Zivug. So therefore, there is such a concept of Zivug Sheni, even without the Zivug Rishon ever coming to fruition, a person can daven to change it. Again, the Gemara speaks about that one should not daven for the particular zivug in general. He should just daven in general that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him out, but not direct his tefillah to say that this, I want this zivug in particular to work out, because you never know what's best. So you should really put your bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you determine or get to the right zivug. But you are able to, through tefillah, alter what should otherwise, according to Tosis, be predetermined. Hey, the Gemara continues with this same line of thought. Anything can be exchanged except for one's wife of their youth. Shenemar ve'eshet neurim kiti ma'is. Right there, it discusses that the wife of your youth that you have rejected and that you have let go. Well, that's actually the Haftorah that we read for Parshat Kiteitze and for Parshat Noach. But there, HaKadosh Baruch is describing that that's something that is unforgivable, that someone leaves their wife of their youth, Kitamaes, that you rejected, meaning that's something that's irreplaceable, and how could you walk away from it? So, Matni Lo, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak Brei, when Rav Yehuda was teaching his Rav Yitzchak this idea, he said, Ein Adam Mutzi Korat Ruach El Mishtar Rishona, a person only satisfied and happy with his first wife. Shneemar Yehi Mekorcha Baruch, V'smach Be'eshet Chekecha, you should be, if you want to be blessed, right, that your makor should be blessed, then you should be happy be'eshet neurecha with the wife of your youth. Amalo kagon man, give me an example of this. So amalo kagon imecha, like your mother. That's why I'm so happy, because of your mother, that's where I get all my sipuka nefesh from your mother. Ini, is that really true? V'am mikri le Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Brei, didn't Rav Yehuda teach his son from the posuk in Kohelet Omotzi ani mar mimavet et aisha asher hi mitzodim v'charamim, that I find the woman more bitter than death, she is nets and traps the others. V'am lo kigon man, give me an example of that, his son said. V'am le kigon imecha, like your mother. So the Gemara answer is no. Mitkaf tkifa, she was hard as nails, but ivurei ma'abra b'mila, but she was forgiving. Meaning that she took a strong position, she was a very strong woman, but nevertheless, she also knew how to have rachmanos, and she knew how to be forgiving and not to stand on her positions. So therefore, she had both qualities, both the quality of a motziani mar memavet et aisha, but also the quality of eshet nurecha, that she was the one who brought the Sibuk HaNefesh to Rabbi Yehuda. Isha Golem Hi, a woman is an unformed matter, ve'ain't korrected brit al misha sakli, and she only connects or creates a covenant with one who makes her into or forms her into something of matter. Shenemar kuvolayich osayich Hashem tzvakot shemo. So continuation what we read before by Yishayo Nundali, which again haftorah for kitetze and for Noach, that kuvolayich osayich, the one who has bia is the one osayich Hashem tzvakot, is the one who makes her shemo. Tana, ein ish meit el ishto ben isha meita el bala, that a man or a husband only dies for the wife, and a wife only dies for the husband. Meaning that the relationship between a husband and wife is so unique that when one of them passes away, the other's pain is not felt by anyone else. Because the relationship is so unique, they are left or feel very alone in the world, based on everything we've described until now about the uniqueness and specialness of the Eshet Nirim, of a wife, and losing one's best friend, and losing the person who one has grown together with and built a life together with, that loss is irreplaceable for that individual. So even though the individual is lost to others and they feel it, nevertheless, the husband and wife feel it the most poignantly, and that they bring psukim to show. How do we know this? Ein ish meit el ishto, that a husband only dies to his wife. Shneimar vayemat elimelech ish naami. So when it talks about Elimelech's death, it talks about focused on Naomi. She was one who was his wife, and she's the one who felt the loss most acutely. Ein ish amita lelebala. Also, wife, the loss of a wife to a husband is felt very strongly. Now we know from Yaakov, ani bevoi v'adam meita alai Rachel. Rachel died on me. Meaning that Yaakov focused on his personal loss from the death of Rachel, even though, of course, others, and including her children, felt that loss. Nevertheless, it was particularly acute to Yaakov that he had lost his wife Rachel. So now we go back to the Mishnah. They're not allowed to see him to get his haircut. A king gets a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbat Le'erev Shabbat. A Kohen Gadol gets it weekly. Kohen Ediot Echad L'Shoshim Yom. And a Kohen Ediot gets it monthly. So Melech Mistaber B'chol Yom Shneamar. Why does a king get a haircut every day? Because it says in Yishayahu Melech Bi Yofyo Techezen Einecha. A king in his beauty, you should cast your eyes upon. I mean, there's a certain that a king, or one of the definitions of a king, is the beauty of the king. So we cut his hair. We make sure that he's always looking his best, because that is part of what the Tisei HaMelech are, that the king has to have the trappings of a king, or to have to look beautiful, to wear the proper clothes, and to have a haircut, and to present himself in such a manner that the people are proud and also respectful of their king. Kohen Gadol Me'erev Shabbat. Why does a Kohen Gadol get it weekly? Amar Rav Shmuel, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, whole Mishmarot Mitchatshot. Because the Mishmarot change over every week, therefore the Kohen Gadol gets his cut every week. The Kohen Gadol, who represents, who is the head of all the Kohanim, when the new Kohanim come up from the Mishmar, they should see the Kohen Gadol presented in the best manner possible. So therefore, weekly, they give him a haircut for the new Mishmar that's coming up. Kohen Hedjot, Echad L'Shloshim Yom. A Kohen Hedjot on the other hand gets a haircut monthly. Why is that? Yichtiv. Because it says, in Yecheskel, this is the Aftorah for Parshat Amor, Rosham lo yigalechu, Ufera lo yishalechu, that they shouldn't cut their hair, Ufera lo yishalechu, but they also can't grow out wildly their hair. So kasom yiksmu et roshehem, they should trim their hair, they should mow down their hair, ve'alif pera pera minazir. So over here they have the word pera, that they're not allowed to grow pera, and also by nazir it says pera. Lo yishlechu. Ktivatam gadol pera se'ar rosho. By a nazir it says that he grows out his hair pera se'ar rosha. Mala halen shloshim afakan shalim. Just like by a nazir, stam nizru, we're going to see in a second, is 30 days. So to over here, a pera, which they're allowed to, up to that point of which they're allowed the hair to grow, is up to 30 days. But it's not nami, stam nizru shloshim yodah. Stam nizru is for 30 days. Vahatam and olan. How do you know by a nazir that stam nizru is 30 days? Ramadna damar kara kodesh iye. It says kodesh iye. Yeah, Begmatria is Tlatin Havo, is 30. So how long is he Kodesh if he doesn't specify the time in his Nizirut? That is for 30 days. So we see from that you have to cut the Kohen Hedjot, has to cut every 30 days because of the Pera that we learn out from Nazir. So I'm a popular Baye, Melodir Buklau. Maybe they shouldn't be able to grow it at all. So one possible way of learning is that they shouldn't be able to grow at all their hair. I mean, it says, lo yish, pera, lo yish lechu. They shouldn't be able to let their hair grow wild. It means that they should have to cut it all the time. The other way to learn this is means that, why are you suggesting that they can wait for 30 days? Why are they allowed to grow a pera up to 30 days and then get the haircut? Maybe this Tosfos points out they should have to get their haircut on the 29th day or the 28th day to prevent them from ever reaching the point of pera. So I'm like, ikhtiv, lo yish lechu pera. Had it been written that they should never grow a pera, their hair wildly, then you would have been right. Hashiv ufera para lihave sluche lo lishalchu, meaning that the para first, they can reach the point of a para, but beyond that point, they cannot let it grow. They cannot let it extend beyond that point. So they're allowed to reach the point of para, which is 30 days, but beyond that, they're not allowed to go, and that means they have to get the haircut at that point. Iochi ayid nanami. So what about today? Why don't we say about Kohanim today? If this is a requirement of a Kohen, why today do we not say that a Kohen has to get a haircut every 30 days? Why are the Kohanim turim from this aloch of getting a haircut every 30 days? So he says, well, that's because it's compared to dumia diayin, it's compared to drinking of wine. Kohanim are also restricted from drinking wine. My yain bisman bia hudasur, shlo bismin bia shari. Just like by wine, which is actually in the subsequent pasuk in Yechezkel, talked about the cutting of the hair, and then subsequent that says that they can't drink wine. Now, drinking wine is a restriction against Kohanim going in and doing avodah after they have drunk the wine. So here, today, just like in modern, today, when we don't have a mikdash, and they're not subject to avodah, there's no restriction on wine. Apre rosh, bisman bia sur. The problem of the letting the hair grow long is only when they're going in to do avodah. Shlo bisman bia shari. If they're not going to do avodah, it's not an issue. Says, is it really true that a Kohen is allowed to drink wine when he's not participating in avodah? Truthfully, Kohanim should be restricted from drinking wine all the time. What can I do? That meaning, or that the what fixed them now is what went bad, meaning that the fact that the Mikdash is destroyed made it so that they don't that they're not restricted in not drinking wine anymore. Well, if the Mikdash is around, true, they would be restricted in drinking wine, but because of the Churban and Mikdash, they can't drink they can drink wine. Why is that? Because during the time of the Mikdash, all the Kohanim knew which Mishmar they belonged to and which Beit Av they belonged to. So when they knew when they were going to work or what day they were going to work, they knew not to drink wine on that day. But now that the Mikdash is destroyed and lost track of all the Mishmarot, if we're going to say to them they can't drink wine, what do you mean? They can't drink wine any day because we have no idea which day is their Mishmar, which day is their Beit Av who is going to be working, or which week, I'm sorry, their Beit Av would be working. That's not the case. So we allow them to drink wine because we don't know. But the Gemara says, Michlal, from this you can infer, you can conclude, the Rabbanan Asrei, that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi, because they say, listen, what are we worried about? Mehera Yibane Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash will be built, and then when it's rebuilt, maybe it'll be the day that's your Mishmar, it'll be the day, week of your Beit Av, and you'll have to go up to Yishlaim to work. So if you're drinking, all of a sudden, Geula and the base of Mikdash is rebuilt and you'll have to go to work and you won't be able to work because you'll be Shtuya Yayin, or you'll go in and you'll be in violation of going to the Mikdash with Shtuya Yayin. So the Chachamim believe that the Kohanim are not allowed to drink, even Shalobizman Bia. So if that's the case, why don't we say the same thing by the haircuts? Where it says, no, Hatam Hainu Taima, this is the reason for the Chachamim. Mehera Yibana Beit HaMikdash Ubi'inan Kohen Aro Ui La Vodah, and we need a Kohen is ready to work right away. Baleka, and we don't have anybody. So therefore we say to them, don't drink wine at any time, because we don't know what day you're going to be. And even if it's the wrong day of the Beit Av Mishmar, maybe there's many other Kohanim available, and you're going to be the one that has to go up. So don't drink wine, so you're available to do the Vod of the Mikdash. Achanami, also here, so why don't you say the same thing about the haircuts? Being a Kohen Aro Ui La Vodah Baleka, you need a Kohen who can walk, go up. He's going to have his hair is going to be too long. He's not going to have the proper haircut. He won't be able to go work in the Mikdash. Where it says, Hachefshar the Misaper. Vayo. Wait a minute. That's not a problem. A haircut, you can be done in 5 minutes. We can have him a haircut and he can be ready to go into the Mikdash. But that's not true by Yayin. Where it says, no, Yayin is also true. Atam Nami, Efshar the Nayim Porto Vayo. He'll take a little snooze. He'll take a little bit of a rest. And that'll get rid of his drunkenness and he'll be able to go in. Damra Vacha, Derech Mio, Vishina, Koshu, Mefigin at the Yayin. If you want to remove the inebriation of wine, one should walk a meal, or it should take a little nap, and that will remove the intoxication. That's only up to a revit of yain. If it's more than a revit of wine, if he walks, then he's even more inebriated. And the sleep puts him into a deeper state of inebriation. So that obviously is not a solution. So the Gemara's solution here is to say that in order for the Kohen to work, he would have to be both not have drunk wine that day, plus he would have to have a proper haircut. So the Chachamim gozer, or only made it a kana with regards to wine, because wine is something that cannot be removed easily or taken care of immediately, whereas a haircut can be taken care of immediately. So for that differentiation, the Chachamim only made a takana for Kohanim not to drink wine, but they did not make a takana for them to have to get their haircuts every 30 days. Because true, in the end, it's true that midoraisa, it's only bizman bia, only time that they go in to work in the Mikdash doesn't matter, but we're worried, mehera yibane beit hamikdash, we're worried about the base of Mikdash being rebuilt and then being available for avoda right away. Now, Rashi attempts now to give an alternative answer about why the Kohanim do not get haircuts today. And that is Ravashi suggests, Ravashi Amar, Shtui Yayin de Machle Avoda Gazru Behu, right, Rabbanan. When it comes to the person of Shtui Yayin, we learn this from the Parshat Shmini, that a person who is drunk, but there the Torah says that the Kohanim may not drink, and afterwards it says, Labdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol, the differentiation between Kodesh and Chol. From there, the Chachamim learn that if one is Shtui Yayin goes into the Mikdash and does Avodah, the Avodah is Chulin, and it doesn't count. It's as if he did nothing. So Pure Rosh, Delo Makle Avoda, Lo Gazru Barabana. On the other hand, the lack of a haircut does not cause a mechula, or does not cause a chilul in the avodah. And if a person went in with two, it's his violation of going in with his hair too long. It's a lav, but on the other hand, he's still not mechalel the avodah. So my says, these are the good ones that get a death penalty, right, for doing something wrong. What is that? Pure rosh v'shtei yayin. That's someone whose hair is grown too long, and someone has drunk wine and gone into du'a avodah. So you see, the chiv mita applies equally to pure rosh and v'shtei yayin. So how could you suggest that only one is mechalel? How do I know that person who drinks wine then goes into the mikdash and does avodah that he's chayiv mita? Adichtiv yain v'sheichar al teshtatav v'necha v'lo tamutu, so that you won't die. But meaning if you do drink it, you will die. Eli puri rosh minolan. How do you know that puri rosh also chayavim mita? Did kish tuya yain the puri rosh? Because in the pasuk in Yechezkel, it puts the two together. Chdiv rosham lo yigalechu, ufera lo yishalechu. And right afterwards, it's written in Yechezkel, vayayin lo yishtu. So you see that there's a hekesh drawn between shtuya yain and getting the haircut. So ma shtuya yain mimita. A puri rosh mimita. Just like someone who drinks wine is subject to the death penalty if they do the avodah, so too would be the same for someone who goes in without their haircut. Umina, so if that's the case, let's learn this too. Mashtu yayin de machle avodah. Afrei rosh de machle avodah. If you want to go that far to say there's a hekesh for the mita, let's say the same thing too. The hekesh extends. You can't have a hekesh the mechza. And therefore, over here also, just like shtu yayin, someone who drinks wine ruins the avodah is not good. So too, you say the same thing by prei rosh at the machle avodah. Sakasha, that leaves a big problem for Ravashi, because if that's the case, according to Ravashi, there's really no differentiation between shtu yayin and prei rosh, because both have a chiyuv mita, and number two, they're both mechalel avodah. So why would the chamim only go there by shtu yayin and not go there by Purei Rosh? Over here, our Gemara is actually different. The conclusion of our Gemara is actually different than the Gemara in Tanis. Gemara in Tanis says that the Hekesh is only for Mita, but the Hekesh is not for Mechalel Avodah. And that Tosfos explains over here. We're going to see in a second the Gemara is going to give an answer. And the answer that the Gemara is going to give is going to answer up even for Rav Ashi according to the Tosfot, and that will reconcile with the Gemara in Ta'anit. So Ravina questions Rav Ashi and says, "Hi, Atulata Yecheskel Man Amra. Based on you, if the whole reason that all of this comes about because of the hekesh between Shtui Yayin and Purei Rosh in Yecheskel, till Yecheskel came along, how do we know this halacha?" So he says, "To make according to your reasoning, Damar Rav Chista, Davar Zeh, Miturat Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamad. No, we didn't learn this from the Torah. Actually, by Yecheskel, we didn't. Till Yecheskel came along and taught us this. Kol Benechar Arel." Erel, Lev, Erel, Basar, Lo Yovo, Migdashi. The word the Shartani is not found. It's found much later on in the Perek, in the positive sense, but not here in this Pasuk. So it says that anybody who is Mitnacher, Masav, Leshamayim, meaning that someone who has become left and gone to worship Avodah Zarah, worked as a Kohen in Avodah Zarah, worshiped Avodah Zarah, he's not allowed to be a Kohen anymore. And we learn that now from here, this Pasuk in Yechezkel is Kol Benechar, Erel, Lev, right? That person, Erel, Lev, someone who is an Erel, Lev. And Erel, Basar, someone who is doesn't have a Bris Milah, because of his brothers who passed away because of Bris Milah. Not because he's not a Jew, but because of this Sakana, he doesn't have Bris Milah. Both of those are precluded from doing Avodah in the Mikdash. And we learn that out from the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Again, the Haftorah for Pasha Demor. So, Adolo by Yechezkel Man Amra. Well, until Yechezkel came along, we didn't know this Halacha. Ella, Gemara Gemirla, we had a Mesorah. It was a Moshe Halacha, Moshe Misinai. But after Yechezkel, Ask Mecha Akra, and Yechezkel wrote it down by in the Psukim that Yechezkel has. Now we know it directly from the Psukim. But it was a Mesorah until that point that was said Halacha. Hachanami, also in my case, Gemara Gemirla, but after Yechezkel, Ask Mecha Akra. We knew the Halacha. The Halacha was such and such because it's Halacha, Moshe Misinai. Yechezkel comes along, gives us the Psukim to say, you can learn this Halacha. I'm showing you can learn out of my Psukim. Now in Yechezkel, but not that he was mitchadesh l'halacha, but rather he was just documenting what was already a halacha in place. So Tosus on this says the answer of the Gemara Gemirila goes on both aspects of Ravashi. The Gemara Gemila teaches us both that the reason that the Aloha existed prior to this point in time, and Yechezel was not the one with Chadeshit, which we just explained, but it also teaches us the other thing, which is that it's a Hekesh L'Chatzayin. Now, if it's only learned out from a Hekesh, then you can't have a Hekesh L'Chatzayin, and you'd have to learn both that, just like the death penalty applies to Shtu Yayin, also applies to Puri Rosh, and just like Shtu Yayin or Mechal Avodah, so too, Puri Rosh or Mechal Avodah. That would be if you had a Hekesh L'Gamrit. But now that we know it's a Gemara Gemirila, that we know that it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and the Hekesh is just showing us what was otherwise the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai teaches us that the comparison to Shtu Yayin is only for Mita, but not for the fact that it's Mechalel Avodah. And based on that, that would reconcile with the Gemara in Tanit, which says that it only applies to the Mita aspect, not to the Mechalel Avodah, and also will answer up for Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi can explain why the difference in the Gzeira Be'al-Chachamim between Purei Rosh and Shtu Yayin. We have a Mesorah that by Shtu Yayin it's Mechalel Avodah, so therefore the Chachamim goes there that you can't drink wine. On the other hand, by Purei Rosh, we have a Mesorah that it's not Mechalel Avodah, it's not Mechalel Avodah, then you don't have to get a haircut. And according to that reading, Tosfos suggests that Rav Ashi's answer will stand in the end because of this answer of Gemara Gemirla and Yavatei Chesglas Mechakra. Alright, so now the Gemara concludes here, the Perek. Maik Som Yechasmu Et Rosh Hashem. What does it mean that they chopped, they trimmed their hair? Tana kamin tisporet lulayanit. That they got a haircut like the lulayanit. Ma tisporet lulayanit. What is this haircut that they got the Kohanim got? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, tisporta yechida. It's a very unique and unusual type of haircut. Hechidame, what's this haircut? Ravashi, rosh shel zeh, betzad ikar rosh zeh. That the root of one goes touched by the head or the end of one. End of one hair touches the root of the next hair. And that is an unusual type of haircut. Tosos benches over here. That's why it's called ksom yechsuma b'kein kusemet. That's the way kusemet grows, where the beginning of one touches the root of the next, or the beginning of the end of the next. So that same type of, that's found in the grains, is also found here in this type of haircut, and that's why it's called kosumi kosumo. So they shalu et Rebbe, ezu tisporecho kohen gadol. So they asked Rebbe, tell us about this tisporecho, this haircut that the kohen gadol got. Mlem tsur ubi tisporecho ben elasa. Go out and look at the haircut of ben elasa, who was actually his son-in-law. It says, Tanya, we have a brisa, Rebbe Omer, lo al chinam pizir ben elasa et ma'utav. He did not expend his money for no use, meaning that he wasn't wasteful in spending his money when he went out to get such a haircut. Al kedei larot bo tisporet shel kohen gadol. He got such a haircut for himself in order to show others what the tisporet of the kohen gadol looked for. So there was a purpose to him spending or expending this type of money, even though it seems wasteful, to get such a haircut. Not for his own benefit, but for others to see what the tisporet, what the haircut of a kohen gadol looks like. Okay, with that, we conclude the parak.